Shauna Palmer is the foremost expert on the future of collaborative leadership in building thriving teams. She is the CEO of Management. She's international speaker, coach, trainer. Welcome to the show, Kish.
Oh, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Oh my gosh. So the thing that I have to say these days, George, is that, and I know that lots of folks who are caregivers are going to identify with, is that I'm a brand new empty nester. And before folks go, oh my gosh, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Okay? Doing well. So I did not have the same response that some folks have when there was no crying in the car. I was just like, go on, butterfly. And so I am removed from New York City, where I'm from, born and raised, to Atlanta. And so started a whole new chapter, right? A book, as my best friend would say, in my life. And I got to decide to kind of live out what I share with my clients every day. And that is, in order to lead well, you have got to live well. And all of us deserve to have the career we want. We deserve to have the life we want and create. And we deserve to be healthy AF while we're doing it. And so I got to live that out. And so being a New Yorker, growing up in Queens, you know, definitely a city girl. So this will make you laugh. I moved here in September. And so I'm excited, right? I finally have a little deck to myself. I'm like, all right, I got my little patio set. And then I ran screaming every day from the swarm of wasps, okay? Because there is a forest behind my house. It didn't occur to me, buy a home with a forest in the backyard, because I had not been exposed to that ever. So this is like hilarious adventures in, part two, 2.0 of my life.
So many new, I feel like adventures is the perfect way to describe that. So that is we've got a handful of podcasts to go over just right there. So going to have you back on to talk about moving from the big city to, I guess, just a smaller city, becoming an empty nester and becoming a beekeeper or a bee exterminator, however it actually worked out. But so helping people to live the lives that they want, in order to lead well, you need to live well. How are we doing with that?
So, it's a lot harder to practice it than it is to talk about it. One of the hardest things that I navigate with my clients is that they just have an idea about how they're supposed to be, whether that was because they're first in their family, they're oldest, they're the middle, whatever their placement is in family and that family dynamic. And a lot of times over the course of us, becoming educated or being in the workforce or starting your own business, you kind of forget that you get to decide on so many big decisions because you get stuck on all the little tiny decisions. Like, George, have you ever gotten stuck on like, so what am I supposed to wear today? And then you're like, to heck with it. Throwing this t-shirt, throwing my jeans, ready to go. And so one of the things that has been really helpful for me to both live into and also to share with my clients is you have got to decide what are the decisions that you just do not want to make anymore, because they stress you all the way out. That is the straw every time. And to really prioritize the things that are going to be able to have the biggest impact. And that typically starts with you. And that's what we run away from. We don't want to deal with it. We're like, you got to slow down. I got to do this. I got to what? I don't want to do it. And so we busy ourselves with so many other things so that we do not have to deal with ourselves. And I think that for me, that balance between understanding how to live well and what that means for you, and how you lead well and what that means for your teams, even in your families, are so interconnected. And I just don't want us to disaggregate them anymore.
I think that is 100% true. And to answer your question, I certainly have been guilty of letting little minute things keep me from focusing on the big thing. Because I think, to your point, I only have so much bandwidth. I can't think about everything all the time.
Cannot. And I think that many of us think we can. And so I'm definitely a high achiever. I was definitely the person like, first in class. Well, if you're going to be in position, you should be first. Like this seemed matter of fact to me. I didn't consider myself to be competitive because I felt like I'm my only competition. So as long as I do my best, there you have it. But what ends up happening is that over time, nothing is good enough. And even the idea of throttling down from, let's say, for those of us who are seasoned enough to know how to drive a stick shift, okay? Throttling down from sixth to third, okay? We know what that drop down feels like, that cockback, right? Even for what our ability to be able not to stop, just to throttle down makes you want to pull all your hair out and run for the hills, because what does that say about me if I actually do less?
That is something that I struggle with, and I'm trying to figure that out as we speak. So I'm glad you're here. I'm fond of calling myself a human doing instead of a human being. What do you think about that?
Listen, as long as I can bar with attribution, I love that. But I want to stop doing. And sometimes I feel like we are, gosh, we're like in love with the idea of doing. We're enamored by it. It's like the movie we want to watch. Ooh, look at that. Look at me do. Like, what does that do for us when we really don't actually have a sense of accomplishment on the other side of done? There's just more to do.
That's right.
What would it look like if you were able to model what it's like to just be able to be? And so right now, there's all of this, like, you know, conversation between blog posts and articles and Instagram influencers around neurodivergence and around really figuring out boundaries and around what it's like to undo and unlearn how many of us, particularly for US-based, grew up. And the thing that I'm noticing that's overlapping in that conversation that's happening is that folks are realizing they have been sold a bill of goods. But once you realize that, kind of like in the Matrix, once you take the pill, what then? Mm-hmm. And so what I'm trying to figure out is how to get folks to understand and to accept for themselves, what then? That's not formulaic in that, oh, Kashana said, we're going to do A plus B plus C and voila, we'll have a new thing. But more like, what actually matters for me in the fabric of the life that I am building in this season with this level of responsibilities I have, that I will feel like I'm doing life powerfully. And that looks different for each person. And so I've started to come up with some things that I think folks will be able to lean into that feels a part of just regular everyday life. So nothing super overly scientific, although I love science, nothing super theoretical because we are tired and exhausted. So who has time to be thinking about theory right now? Okay, I really want a snack. And how do I get to action things when I'm stressed and I'm tired? So that's kind of where I am now. It's where my work is now. It's what my writing is now and where my coaching and advising is right now.
I think that that is extremely timely because I do feel like we're just sort of overwhelmed and awash in other people's priorities, living under who knows, just other human beings' assumptions in all the different aspects of our lives, from the way that I grew up and the city I live in and the street I live in and my coworkers and everything else. And do I know what really matters to me? And I don't think that most of us do. I know that I've been guilty of that.
Absolutely. And I think it was fortuitous that my daughter going to college, I didn't have an existential crisis, but I definitely was like, well, now that mom is not at the front of my title anymore and I am no longer an Uber driver, I have retired. Who am I? You know, and that question made me sort of like, okay, Kashana, don't spin out. You know who you are. The question is, are you courageous enough to be her? Because when you're used to being the student, being the teacher, being the good employee, being the person that has the reputation, whatever your it is, whatever role that you have kind of been cast in and decided to play, even if you know on the inside that that is really not who you are, you might be getting rewarded for the role you're playing. And so when you get to a certain stage in your life, you're like, sheesh, well, do I start over? Do I? So you begin to have these feelings, or it's like when you were on the playground and you're like, oh my God, am I going to be the last one picked for kickball? We still have those experiences as adults. But the difference is we're allowed to kind of hide under family, and we're allowed to, you know, hide behind our 401ks, our mortgages, bills, life. And we don't feel like we have the freedom to try to live differently, which is why when we see people who do, we have a couple of emotions. That couldn't be me. Also a little bit jealous. Also, how irresponsible. Real judgy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We could lean into that a little bit differently.
What if we had the courage, if we were to give ourselves the space to really think about what is it that I want, what matters most to me, and then recognizing, okay, I can actually do that, but am I courageous enough to step into that, to take those first couple of steps to do that? What if, what if, what if, what if?
And remember, I remember as a kid, like I love to read. I still do. So if you, this is like a tiniest snapshot of my huge office of books and so forth that are upstairs, downstairs, everywhere. And I remember I used to get lost in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. World of Narnia, right? And like what could be when you stepped into that closet and into that world. And I think that we don't allow ourselves enough wonder as adults, because we are told that we got to be serious and you got to be focused and you got things. But what if you could still have that same sense of wonder in the way you live your life within the structure of being an adult? And so that brings me to what I talk about, and I had to kind of fiddle with it, and I pressure tested it with the teenagers. So that's how I know this works. Okay. Young people co-signed it on the TikTok, then it works. So 5 points of wellness. I call this my 5-star wellness plan. So there are 5 aspects of wellness. This is not Kashana news. This is pretty well researched. And so that's your physical health. That is your emotional health. For those of us who have a spiritual center, that's your spiritual health. That is your financial health and your community health. So rather than come up with some rubric on how to be happy or not, I thought, what if we figure out at each stage of your life where the percentages lie on how you are healthy? Are you well? So for me, I'm in my mid-40s. I'm a woman of a certain age. I know that for me to have good physical wellness, I got to move. So I don't necessarily have to be to the gym. You're not going to hear me say any of that, even though shout out to my friends who do CrossFit and Pilates. I'm on both ends of the spectrum. But it's about movement. That's my physical health. Am I getting my blood pumping every single day? And then for my mental health, am I taking things in on social media? Am I reading? Am I meditating? Whatever the it is for me that allows me to say, am I well? Same for my spiritual health, for my financial health. I'm doing that right now. Oh my gosh, got to do a whole wellness checkup and check in. And then community health. I moved to a whole new city. So all of my friends and my network and my close-in girlfriends who would just pop over, they're not close by anymore. So how do you reassert community wellness? Are you in the company of others across different areas of your life that buoy who you are? We get to decide. And so if you kind of just boil it down to your 5-star wellness, what looks like 5-star for you, George, is not going to look like that for me, but we are both going to feel like we are swimmingly well. And that kind of, you know, chest out, shoulders back and down, makes you feel good. You're smiling from the inside out. You then will go out and you will be able to have impact on others because you have started with yourself.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I think sometimes when we start talking about, you need to think about what matters to you or what's most important, it's way too big and way too abstract. So having those 5 points that we can sort of self-assess and figure out, okay, in this area, how important is that to me right now? And then moving forward, I think that that's really helpful.
Absolutely. And I just decided, you know, I talk a lot about everyday leaders because I do believe that you can learn leadership skills, but many of us have leadership talents. All of us do not have leadership gifts. Some people are just born with the stuff, but you can adopt different ways of understanding how to impact others and how to set an example and how to give people space to show up as their fullest self. That's why emotional intelligence is so important. That's why cultural intelligence is so important. But most importantly, you got to be of knowledge of self, right? You have, and a lot of us are walking around in a daze, just unaware and unwilling to really lean into who we are. And so a lot of my practice, particularly with my executive coaches on clients, is really around getting back to that essence, getting very clear on that person and not in a very like, oh gosh, Kashawn, I'm rolling my eyes again at this. But no, like in a really grounded way, how do you tap back into that part of yourself that was so self-assured and so confident because you knew you had the it, whatever your it was. And then how do you magnify that out so that you're able to set a good example for others to feel confident enough to do the same? To me, that is a different way at looking at leadership. And that is a different way about having widespread impact, which I think is the responsibility of leaders to do.
I think that that really resonates with me. Oftentimes when we're looking around and just paying attention, there's so many terrible things that we're seeing. So there's so many terrible things in the United, in my city, in your city, in the United States, in the world and everything else. And oh my goodness, what in the world can I possibly do about any of that? But you've just laid out what I can do and what I need to do if we're to find our way out of the mess that we found ourselves in. It's going to start with me and you.
And so I think that, you know, particularly in the U.S., you know, there's a lot around rugged individualism. You know, I am the person that makes it happen. Oh, it was only me who did that thing. Or if I only focus on myself. And that is not what I'm suggesting. I think that there's a place for it, but it also can be very dangerous. What I'm saying is wake up. Like, we need to get out of zombie mode. We need to get out of woe with me, because if we can't fix it all, we can't fix anything. Wake up. And that, I think, to me is so, so critical in being a dialed in leader. You've got to be awake. You've got to be focused. You've got to be willing to be vulnerable in a way that allows the people who look up to you, who look across to you, who sit beside you to go, I see you. Okay, looks a little scary. Okay, but no side. Let's try it again. Let me try too. And to keep that collective movement going, we'll start to see some really authentic outgrowths of innovation, things that are not manufactured, things that don't feel like just the race to the top. And I think that it'll take some time, but I definitely think it's possible.
Agreed. I know that we all resonate when we see somebody who is, for lack of a better term, their authentic self. It's attractive. It's inspiring. We want to be around those people. We want to be more like them. And I feel like that's a lot of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So there's this Instagram page I follow called Advanced Fashion. And I just have to tell y'all, these humans, okay, they are fierce. Women, men, all cripple, all type of folk. And they are, people would think they're eccentric or that they're out there, but I don't see that. I see folks who decided that they are going to be bold for themselves because that's what makes them happy. So oftentimes people who spend time with me will say, oh, Kshana, you're so funny. And I'll remark, well, I'm just here for my own personal amusement, because it's true. And so the idea of like living into who you are, the reason I bring that page up is because these are folks who others might go, oh my gosh, they're not wearing gray, white, black, navy blue. They have the nerve to have on texture and fabric and that. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Don't you feel curious when you see folks who are living into who they really are? Don't you smile a little bit, even if you're like, I don't know if I understand that, but you're looking. And the purpose is not just to look, but it is, to me, to be sort of a homing beam to, you get to do that too. It does not have to hurt folks. It does not have to be dangerous. It doesn't have to be a Disney experience either. Let me just be clear, y'all. I hope I am not painting a PG experience, because Lord knows life has some NC-17 moments. But what it does say is that there's not one way to do life, and that to be dialed in and invested in your own life allows others to be dialed in and invested in theirs.
I think that that is a beautiful thing. And you mentioned that we deserve to be healthy. I think that we're all worthy of living the lives that we want, and we're all deserving of living the lives that we want. But it comes down to what you've been talking about. We're not entitled to it. So we need to do the work. We need to start walking towards that life.
And I will go a step further and say, not only do we deserve it, but we have a responsibility. Because our young people are watching. It's going to always come back. So ever since I was a kid, I've always done work with our young people, particularly even when I was a young person, because I really felt like folks are not listening to us. They're not paying attention. Well, young people right now, they're like, whether you want to listen to us or not, we are here. And so I have my own young person, and I knew if I did not make some clear shifts in my own behavior, that rightly or wrongly, she was going to pick some of them up. and it's not perfect, she's going to make her own mistakes. But could she not make my mistakes? And so if I wanted to be able to set an example, that means I had to really look at how I was leading myself. So if I'm tired, not sleeping, eating crap food, and I'm not judging folks on what they eat, if that makes your body feel crazy, it's crap. I don't care what it is. If I'm not operating in a way that makes me feel like I have sat in the good sun and gotten some vitamin D and gotten some sunshine in my system, then I'm not doing the things I need to do to make sure that I'm at my very best. And I have a responsibility as somebody who runs a company, as somebody who helps others with that, and as a mom, to be able to set that example. And that to me is really important. It's one of my values. And if that's not somebody else's value, I get it. Also, figure out what your values actually are and then live into those.
Well said. Well, Kish, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Absolutely. So if you want to learn more about compassionate coaching, which is what we do at Management, if you want to learn about really thinking about holistic leadership and how to be able to bring yourself to work in a way that honors who you are and honors your bottom line, then I encourage y'all to look at Management, and that's MINT.co. You put a fresh take on management and leadership. And if you want to work with me directly, then go to KashaunaPalmer.com, get started, and one of my team members will be happy to get us started working together.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, showcase your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. If you are interested in the compassionate coaching, go to management.co, MANAGEMINT.co. And for all other things, Kish, go to Kashauna Palmer, KISHSHAMAPALMER.com, and start taking those steps to the life that you really, really want. Thanks again, Kish.
Thank you so much for having me.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.